Good afternoon. Warm welcome to everyone. Some more people are coming, but we'll start since we have a tight schedule. My name is Raghu. I'm also a newcomer, like most of you here. And this is the first program that's being organized for this year as a part of the newcomer reception series, starting with the town hall. And we're also organizing another one next month that's going to be most likely at Saracon, so you'll get the invitations soon for that around end of next month. We have introductions from Working Committee and FMC and Lavanir. And afterwards, we have again a discussion here among newcomers, coordinated by Min, who will join us later. That's the program for today. We'll close, hopefully, sharply at 5:30. And many of the organizing committee members are not here. Shivaya, who is one of the main persons who's initiated this program, she's not able to be here today. And Min will join us later, and there's Ranjit here, and there's Devraj sitting somewhere in the audience. Devraj, there's Devraj. I would also like to say that this is part of a larger program, newcomers program, a series of receptions are one of the activities. There are other activities being planned as well. One at last school, it's a series of sort of interactive sessions on exploring the charter and other things. And for that program, the people behind it are Shivaya and Susie, who's also one of the initiators for that, Deepthi and Jean-Yves from last school, who are not here today because they have classes at the school till later in the afternoon. Okay, so now I'd like to invite, would like to mention this. Today is an introduction. Many of us come to the town hall and gone away, and we know there's a working committee, there's an FMC, there are many other committees. We don't exactly know what they do, but some of their policies, their actions affect all of us. And in the future, we will be interacting with them when you want the housing, when you want funding for something or other. We will be interacting with them in the future. That's the reason why we're organizing this session today, to know more about what they do. And today's program is an introduction. They'll be telling us briefly. Hopefully, you'll also tell us a little bit about your own journey in Oroville, since you've been here, many of you, for a long time, and then more about your working groups. And it's not a session for discussion of, you know, issues, because what we have is 20 minutes each. It's very too short to be able to go into discussions. But if there are specific issues, we'll organize a separate session later on specific housing or this or that. And then we'll invite members who are responsible for that, and we can have a more detailed session. So today is mostly an introduction about what the groups are, how they work, the history, etc., so that we are more well-informed. And I would like to invite the first host of the day, Carol from Working Group, to tell us about the Working Group.
My name is Carol. Actually, my name is Carol, but nobody pronounces it like that. So in English, it is Carol. I'm from Holland originally. I joined Oroville in 1986, so I've been here for the last 22 years. And I'm a member not of the Working Group, but the term is Working Committee. I have to be a little bit legal with you because you have to understand the background of the legal structure of the Oroville. When Oroville was started, it was actually nothing. It didn't have a separate legal structure. It was, at the most, you could say, a project of the Three Orobindo Society. Then, perhaps many of you may know, there were problems between the Orovillians who were living here in the field and the people from Pondicherry who were representing the Three Orobindo Society. And this led ultimately, after a lot of nasty incidents, to an emergency act in 1980, which was promulgated by none less than Indira Gandhi. And Indira Gandhi said, we, the government of India, take over the project of Oroville for a limited period of time. Under that act, there was a government administrator appointed who ran everything. The Sri Aurobindo Society did not take that lying down. They objected to the act. They said the act is against the constitution of India because Oroville is a religious experiment. And that went all the way up to India's Supreme Court. And if you know anything about India, you know that Supreme Courts take a lot of time. And this Supreme Court took 7 years. It took 7 years to finally deal with the Oroville issue and concluded that Oroville is not a religious experiment. At the most, Sri Aurobindo's works could be seen as philosophy, but definitely not as religion. And in doing that, the government, the Supreme Court upheld the legality of this act, the Euroval Emergency Provisions Act. That was in 1987. But by that time, the act was nearly expired and everybody was looking for another form of government. What could that be? And the government again took action, which is quite remarkable if you realize what Orwell is today. You could say a little speck in South India, but the central government was motivated to pass a special act on behalf of Orwell. And that is the Orwell Foundation Act. And that act appointed a three-layer structure. They appointed a governing board, which is at the top, which consists of nine people from eminent Indians, you could say, from all over India. It appointed an international advisory council consisting of five people from the international realm, and it constituted a residence assembly. And the residence assembly are all the Orwellians of 18 year plus. And it said that the residence assembly is represented towards the governing board through its working committee. And that is the group of people who represent the residence assembly, consisting of, at this present moment, seven Orwellians. I'm one of the seven. Raman, who's sitting there, is another one of the seven. He will speak in a minute. This is how it started. Now, this is not completely new. All the time when Orwell started, we had a group of Orwellians who tried to deal with the internal problems and challenges of Orwell. It was called co-op, it was called council, it had various names, and now it is called working committee. As you may understand, the government interest and ultimately interference in Orwell was not very much accepted by everybody in Orwell. Many people felt that the government influence is going to get too strong. This was especially came to the front when we got a secretary of the Orwell Foundation, and the secretary started to issue orders, government orders. These government orders were widely objected to. Orwellians were not used to getting orders. Orwellians were used to do things as they pleased, and the secretary felt that this didn't really work. He gave orders so that certain units could be run by certain people. For example, the commercial units got an office order to run the commercial unit, and other things came into existence. Ever since, we had a kind of uneasy relationship with the secretary, until we got, at some point of time, a gentleman called Mr. Balabhaskar, who very well understood the difficulties of Orwell. He remained secretary for a good 4 years, and those 4 years were actually the best one, where we were able to establish the relationship very much in detail between how the working committee functions and the governing board and International Advisory Council, and particularly the secretary. In all this, you should realize that a governing board and the International Advisory Council come to Orwell at the maximum twice a year. And if they come to Orwell, they get such a pile of papers which they have to study, to approve, and that all in less than 1 day. Plus, they interact with members of the community of the various working groups. So it basically means that the person in charge is not so much the governing board, but it is the secretary. And that underlines the necessity to have an excellent relationship with the secretary. Meanwhile, the working committee is doing much more than only dealing with the secretary. As I mentioned, all the problems of Orwell, all the challenges come on the table of the working committee, and repeatedly we have to go to New Delhi to talk to government officials on, for example, issues such as income tax of the foundation, but also the issue of visa, which is applicable to all foreign residents in Orwell. The visa issue is a continuous concern. We would like to make sure that everybody who decides to come and live in Orwell has no risk on his possible stay unless he does something which goes against the laws of India. Of course, then we can't protect the person. But if a person lives in accordance with the laws of India, that person should be allowed to remain here. This looks very clean and clear forward. History has taught us that it is not the case. There are a couple of Orwellians who were made to leave India for reasons which we have not been able to understand and which we have been trying to address ever since, actually without any success. This is the continuous concern of the working committee. Raman, would you like to add?
My name is Raman, and I am an Orwell from 1977, and I came to work from one of the close by village from 1972. Introducing Orville Watts Carroll, a fellow co-member from the working committee, explained the historical part and the structure part. That is how we are only dealing with the government. But for me, I do want to give you an introduction coming to Orville. I think coming to Orville is a challenge. How Mother have put it is, welcome to the adventure of a new consciousness. Another word she says in the charter, to be an Orovillian or to live in Orville should be a willing servitor of the divine consciousness. And Mother wants every one of us, that is the one present human thing, to take another level, which is lacking. So that must be the introduction to any newcomer or any fellow or citizen or any human who comes to this new place or new adventure. I think we should always take that base. The other structure should come as a secondary. If we take that base as our sincere base, there is no question that you are already an Orovillian wherever you live in the whole world, wherever you live, but you have already started that fire. For me, that is the most crucial and important thing to become an Orovillian. Second is that you are traveling all the way to this part, somewhere in India, whatever you call it, you know. Building of a life, there are a lot of exercise you are given. Exercise is either building the township or a building of your own house, plowing the land, agriculture, farm, whatever, whatever. But one should not again forget about the bottom line thing is that you are here for the another level of consciousness that the human being or we can unanimously, truly, actually bring the true brotherhood, and so that there is no problem that we add to problems. Like, we are facing a lot of lucky and adventure things happening in the world. Like yesterday, Dalai Lama was with us. And then there was introduction that the changes in the world, the first time of Martin Luther King's dream are becoming a reality, that is Obama taking our swan to become the president in the States. And then all over the world. And I do see all the time there is a positive move if you compare this level of consciousness, how it grows. We are really going forward. But being that little other side, is so thing, so the press thing all put as that becomes the focus, which should not be. So again, my request is coming to Orville is going inside more than outside. Then the rest will be put in place. Obviously, you might be faced, even after all, come to Orville. I don't know how long you have lived in Orville, a month, two, sometime more. But don't take the external obvious thing that is Orville. No, don't. But your aspiration should not be led seeing this kind of whatever is outer reality, but there is more. So I would request every individual to work towards that, and welcome to Orville. That must be my introduction. And second, I want to say also physical reality of Orville here. See, Orville is located in the South India, right into the heart of Tamil Nadu, which Viluppuram district, which used to be one of the most backward place in Tamil Nadu in terms of the spoken language as well as the life. Recently, not ancient, but recently. So then again, it becomes a challenge to build in this place, Orville. Luckily, there is a lot of cooperation. The most, like 90% there is cooperation that we can build Orville. And you are challenged with fellow Tamil people also living around. It's about 20,000 people in this total, the city area, which is demarcated, including the Green Belt. And there is easily about 5,000 to 7,000 people every day today to the population of what Carol mentioned, 1,800, interact in co-building Orville. All they do is they go back to sleep in their home. Otherwise, they are as much fellow Aurovillian with us. Again, it's about building a new consciousness. If that can be kept or brought to the surface, we are helping to it. So there are villages to develop with you, and there is Auroville to be built. And again, we need to cope up with this, what is said, the government structure, which why it has come here. This is very important. We should not take that as an against force, the current against. We should take that as a current with us so that it helps us. We should not also blame the other side, so that I think we should always take that with us so that we are helping to that consciousness, so they understand also, they become part of us, something like that. Like, I don't know, I'm only giving in English, there is fellow Tamil people a lot, I don't know how much this introduction helps them to understand whoever, whatever say in whatever theme. But doesn't matter, the theme goes, but bottom line is that, welcome you. Ella vaanga, but murusum purinjikana varanum. Aaruvilukku varathindrathu romba easy aanadhu illa, adhu oru sacrifice. நீங்க எல்லாத்தையுமே சாக்ரிஃபை பண்ணிட்டு வேற இதில் குதிக்கிறீங்க, ஒரு ஃபயரில் குதிக்கிறீங்கன்னு சொல்லக்கூடும், நான் நெருப்பில் குதிக்கிறீங்க. ஸோ தட் யூ பிகம் நீவ் அண்ட் டெடிக்கேஷன் இஸ் தட் நம்ம எல்லாத்தையும் சரண்டர் பண்ணிடுறோம் மதருக்கு. மதருக்கு சரண்டர் பண்ணிவிட்டு ஒத்துழைச்சால் வழிய கண்டிப்பாக ஆரோவில் பில் பண்ணுறது ரொம்ப காலம் எடுத்துக்கும். அவங்க சொன்னது வந்து 5 வருஷம் எடுத்துக்கலாம், 10 வருஷம் எடுத்துக்கலாம், இல்லாட்டி 1000 வருஷம் கூட எடுத்துக்கலாம். பட் எனிவே இந்த கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் வந்து பூமியை நோக்கி வருதுன்னு சொல்லிட்டாங்க. அதாவது வேற இது பூசல்கள் சச்சரவு இந்த ட்ரீமில் சொல்லியிருப்பாங்க, அது மாதிரிலாம் நல்லா அமையணும்னா நம்ம முழுசும் அன்னைக்கு நம்ம சமர்ப்பிக்கணும். சமர்ப்பிக்காத நம்மளும் அந்த பையோட ஏன்னா வந்துட்டு ஐயோ நம்ம அப்பா அம்மா ஐயோ நம்ம தங்கச்சின்னா உலக இதை பில் பண்ணலாம். நம்ம இன்னும் அந்த சின்ன சர்க்கிளில் தான் இருக்கிறோம். ஸோ உலக அளவில் உண்மையான அளவில் நம்ம கட்டணும்னு நினச்சோம்னா முழுசும் நம்ம அர்ப்பணித்தால் ஒழிய அது நடைபெறது கொஞ்சம் கஷ்டமாக இருக்கும். ஐ திங்க் தட் வுட் பி மை தமிழ் கான்ட்ரிபியூஷன் அண்ட் ஐ வில் ஃபினிஷ் இட்.
இஃப் தேர் எனி க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் வி கேன் ஜஸ்ட் டேக் ஒன் ஆர் டூ க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் டு கரல், அதர்வைஸ் ஜஸ்ட் வி ஆஸ்க் தெம் ட்யூரிங் த டீ டைம் அவுட்சைட். ஓகே, எனி பர்னிங் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ்?
Can I see the Foundation Act written somewhere in the internet? Or yeah?
The Foundation Act is available on the internet. The Auroville internal website, I think even on the external website, in full. And there's a public document, Auroville Foundation rules are also there. Actually, all the official documents you can find in the section on the internet. There's a special section which references, I think it is called. You find a whole lot. Yeah?
Thank you, Carol, and thank you, Raman. I would like to invite the next, Toby. Maybe you'll want to sit and talk. Toby from Lavinia.
It's really a privilege to speak for you. I welcome you all as newcomers here in Auroville. I'm an Aurovillian since, let me calculate, 2008. So that's quite recent. And for some reason, and I don't know exactly why, I became part of Lavinia d'Auroville. And L'Avenir d'Auroville is a beautiful organization which has in its foundation or in its mandate, we call that here in Auroville, the development and planning and construction of Auroville. Well, if you have 2,000 Aurovillians, if you have all those people who come here with their ideals and aspiration, and they all need a house, they all need water, they all need food. And in the beginning, in 68, 69, and there were not so many people as now, and even now there are not so many people. That's one of the reasons why I'm very happy that you're all here, because we need much more people than we have now. It was difficult to build a house, because there was nothing here. There was just sand. There was just dust. There was really nothing here. And step by step, the Aurovillians at that time started to build houses, making bore wells, and all kinds of things to keep yourself alive. L'Avenir d'Auroville had something before L'Avenir d'Arville. That was called Ordre Futur. And Ordre Futur was already in existence in 65. It was founded then by Roger with blessings of the mother. And it made a plan. It made the master plan. And the master plan, we can see that here in the rooms side here, where the beautiful galaxy is made. But it will take a few years to develop this. And that master plan is in basic what we are trying to build every day, piece by piece. And we know that we cannot do that in 1 year. And we know it will take a lot of effort to build this master plan. And that's why we came with priorities and with focusing on pieces of the master plan. So 1 year ago, or a little bit more than 1 year ago, when the new organization, and Karel knows that much better than I, because he was one of the founders of this organization, came into being, that master plan was given to the new L'Avenir, van look, this is what you have to build. We started with surveys. And in those surveys, it became immediately clear that the houses we all have built were scattered around and were of bad quality, and there were not enough houses. So we immediately had a problem to solve. And it was completely normal that we found something like this. If there's no coordination, if there are not so many rules to build a house, and if there is not so much money, yeah, basically everybody can more or less do what he likes to do. And that is exactly what happened. And so one house came, a second house came, a third house came, and that we call a community, and then a borewell came, and then water came, and then trees around it. And step by step, that is how the communities grew. And right now we see more than 100 communities, with some very developed and some very simple. But basically, Auroville, if we look from a town planning view, is a whole bunch of communities. Nothing wrong with it. But if we want to make a city, we have to do it a little bit different. We need a little bit more coordination. We need a little bit more structure. And that is what L'Avenir is doing at the moment. So we saw that the houses that were not enough and not good of quality. So we made one of our main policy lines that we are going to build houses. So we reserved the residential sector too, and we made plans for the residential sector too. And when you look in that area now, you see a lot of projects coming out of the ground for future housing for people. Immediately we had a problem, because a lot of people like to live in an alone standing house with some area around it and the trees. But gradually we are developing into a city. And there will be a moment that it will look like a city. And we have no idea yet how that exactly will be, because the activities what we are going to organize will be the, yeah, that will be the profile of the city. And it makes a big difference if you work 4, 6, or 8 hours a day, what consequences it has for housing and infrastructure and all kinds of amenities. So we are looking at the people. We are doing research at the people. What are they doing? What are the activities? What are the economic activities? And if that comes all on the table, we start, then this kind of housing is what they need. These kind of economic activities we have to organize. This is the amount of water what they need. This is the amount of food what we need. Where can we make the shops that everybody can reach this? So step by step, by just letting it go, we start to coordinate. And it is not an imposement or imposition that we say, and we do it like this. We go to the different communities. We make the plans here in this room already 10 times a year, as we make information meetings where we show our plans and people start discussing. At this moment, about 150 people are working for L'Avenir in task forces, in working groups, in committees, and in all kinds of groups in and around L'Avenir. And that's where all the ideas come, and that's why the architecture come, and that's where all the plans are coming together. We have a term from 2 years, and that's not too long. In 2 years, you can hardly plan a part of the city. But if you look at the whole procedure where we have gone through, at the end of the second year, we will realize really a lot of projects where we find houses for quite a lot of people. So this is one part what we are doing, the housing. There are more parts where we are very busy in. If you look at the water, for instance, what also is a part of L'Avenir, or traffic was a part of L'Avenir, or power, electricity was a part of L'Avenir, and all that kind of things, and everywhere I can have a speech like this. Let me tell you something about the water, and then I end up the presentation. If you look at the water here in Orville, then we're really facing quite a problem. And not that you have to run to your home country or whatever, that tomorrow there is no water anymore. But if you look how much water is extracted out of the ground, and you see how much water is going into the ground, there is a rate of about 10, 15 times that there is water extracted more than going in by recharge. Even in the heavy monsoons, what we have seen, there is not enough water which is enough to recharge the aquifers. That means that they are getting empty and emptier and emptier. So in the end, they will get saline. And this is one of the problems we have to solve with each other for the future. This is also part of L'Avenir, that we look into things like this and that we make our scenarios, desalination, more use of rainwater, where we have to talk with each other if this is feasible, and if it is feasible, is it in the end workable, that we talk with each other if this is one of the possibilities for the future. This is what I more or less wanted to say. Thank you. Yes.
About the roads.
The roads.
Well, yeah. I don't know whether I should call it like that.
Yeah, we call them roads. You mean those dusty red...
I mean those dusty...
Yeah. They're keeping a lot of people outside, and that's what we like.
Yeah, but maybe...
Please.
Well, I was wondering when I came that it was not possible to build sort of firm surfaces within 40 years, because what is out there is a sort of a health risk for everybody.
Yes.
Who is living here.
Yes.
Don't think about the children and their lungs. Think about all our lungs. So and it's also dangerous. So not only for the health, but also in terms of traffic. So
yes,
I guess
you are
this
right.
is one of the one of the problems we face.
You are right. I think we get about 4 or 5 complaints a day about the roads. And that's quite a lot. If you look in the past, and it is only to explain a little, then the money which came to Orville, there was special funding for the Matrimandia, there was special government grants for schools and for Barat Nivas. There's hardly any money for infrastructure. We are not a governmental agency here with normal municipal budgets. It comes all from other sources. And so we hardly have money for infrastructure. That's improving. One of the advantages of this secretary is that he brings in money also for infrastructure. That's the first time. So gradually, we are starting to improve a little bit the roads, a little bit, because we know that they are dangerous. We know that, I don't have to tell you more than what you have said, so it is a priority at the moment. But we know also something else. It starts somewhere else. What do we want with our roads here in Orville? And now I'm giving you a little of a discussion what has already taken place in L'Avenir, but not only in L'Avenir, also with the dream catchers, also in the task forces and go on. Van, the main thing is here, look around the Matrimandia. There is quite a big road around it with motorized traffic. That means a lot of noise. That means a lot of smell. That means a lot of danger. Is this what we wanted with the Matrimandia? Or shall we step by step starting building that the whole inner city becomes a place of silence? of silence. Was it not written in Savitri that silence is the mystic birthplace of the soul, and what are we doing with our center? And on one side, we have a discussion of how open should Auroville be. If I look at the guests, if I look at people who are just visitors, if I look at people, Raman already said it to us, who work here in Auroville, we are with 2,000 Aurovillians. We get 2,000 visitors a day. We got thousands and thousands guests. We have thousands and thousands of workers here. Do we want to close Auroville for everybody? What extent do we want to open it? And these are very principled discussions. What has immediately to do with how are we going to construct the roads? Nevertheless, the roads in this state should not last very long. We should do something. But everywhere where we improve the roads, you see more traffic, they go faster, start horning, overtaking, and all that kind of behavior immediately starts. So it has to be surrounded with a lot of things like speed breakers and signboards and knows what, and immediately the cost goes dramatically up. So I'm not saying we should do nothing, that you don't hear, but we have to be very careful what we do where. Nevertheless, the Crown Road is being built. That will take a few more months, and then the stretches will be paved. More money is coming in, so there we start, and step by step we start paving quite a lot of roads. In the next 2 years you will see that there will be a dramatic shift. Yes.
I wanted to say that maybe to find a solution, not a solution, but something to help to solve the problem of the road, maybe to think about how to move into Auroville with not so much motorbike or car like today. The road is a problem, sure, but if they maybe were the traffic were different, it should be not so much a problem.
Yeah, I agree completely.
When you ride by bicycle, there's no dust, and okay, that's okay. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, traffic is too a problem.
You hit a very, not sensitive, but a very important point. And that important point is, how strong can we be to forbid things? Take, for instance, the housing. In our survey, about 50% of the houses have no building permission. What do we do with those houses? Should we bulldozer them down? That's an idiot way of thinking, because a lot of people invested money and they made a house and it looks beautiful, but they have not a relation with the master plan. And there are many more topics like this, from how far can you forbid something and what do you allow? Here we have a very sensitive point for Auroville. And my story stops here, because there are many possibilities in the sense that you talk with people. You say, look, your house is here on a place and we need a road here. Can you? And then you make some kind of an arrangement. Also with the usage of motorbike or bicycles. Also the usage of cars. And more we are touching these topics by regulating at one point. Say, well, here we have parking places and there it is not allowed. But also try to speak with people, why should you have a motorbike or a car? At least take an electric car. But that's not really principle. So this is how we grow together to solutions. And imposition of forbidding, that is usually not the way, because it counters back immediately. Counters back. Then people, you're starting to drive a car.
I don't say to stop, but I maybe people could think a different way to move. Sometimes you need your motorbike, sometimes not.
Public traffic, perhaps?
And
public transport. That might also be a part of the solution. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Toby. They'll be around for the tea, so we will continue outside. So I'd like to invite now Otto from FAMC to tell us about what they do.
Yeah, let me first thank Raghu and company for the possibility of this interaction, because I think It's very important that we have these kind of interactions more often, and even on other topics. Today I'm talking about the FMC, but I think finance in general is also a topic which will be good to discuss with you. Let me introduce myself. I have met most of you because I'm holding out the hand for Auroville when you come into Auroville, so I'm known. I've come in 1981, and I was baking bread for the first 10 years here. Then I was working in Poutous, and for the last 15 years I'm involved in the finances, which brings me to the FMC. FMC, by the name itself, definition, Finance and Asset Management Committee, means this group is basically looking at our finance and our assets. The group is constituted by people from housing service, from the land service, from Lavinia Working Committee, and then from Auroville Unity Fund Financial Service. So we are looking at the overall picture of our assets. We are looking basically more into the policies of housing, policies of land purchase, policies of land use. The groups itself make the running decisions. Policy decisions are normally taken in the FMC. So the different topics, land, housing, infrastructure planning, and the financial budget of Auroville, that's coming through the FMC. For the budget, there is the BCC, which is called the Budget Coordination Group, which is preparing the budget, and it's finalized by the FMC. Basically, that's the structure of this group. Now, there are many topics, many details which I cannot go into, but you can imagine when you deal with finance and assets, whenever there is a dispute which cannot be solved in the group itself, it comes to the FMC. So instead of having a lot of time for far-reaching policies, we are mostly bogged down with petty problems between individuals. That's what is happening. So it's a mixed bag. We're trying to keep the larger picture in view, but most of our time goes for very small things. That's FMC. Not very glamorous.
Just the overall finance picture, basically, how much, what's the total income of Auroville and how is it budgeted, basically?
Well, you see, it varies because it depending on projects running. We may get into Auroville between 10 and 20 crores a year, depending on financial requirements at Matrimandir, for instance. If there's a big thing happening, like when we got the golden discs started, there was a huge donation coming for the gold, for instance, and for doing that. If we have any big infrastructure project, or like when we built this building, for instance, then there's a large donation coming. You have to understand that the money for our infrastructure basically comes from outside. We are not even able to maintain ourselves from the income of Auroville properly on a daily basis. We're having a certain level of maintenance allowance for the Aurovillians, which is very often not enough to cover the basics. But that's the situation on the ground. And when you look into the housing sector, which is one of our biggest problems we have, is that actually virtually all the houses, 95% of the houses have been built by Aurovillians from their own resources. So it's not money which is coming from outside, from somewhere to help us build houses. We don't have the fund. This type of funds we do not have available to put into housing. That's one of our biggest problems. So we are getting now some help from the government to start small scale some projects, but largely because, you see, initially when we came, we just put up a keat structure. We lived in a keat hut for the first 5 years. It didn't matter. But once the thing is growing and everything becomes more permanent, everything becomes a different issue. You know, at that time when you leave a keat hut, you leave, nobody bothers. If this keat hut is broken, it's taken away. If somebody else wants to live there, it's fine. Now, if you leave a pucker house, it creates a different thing. I have built this. It has that value. And that's also one thing. You see, we all sign, actually, initially, that we do not own anything in Auroville. Now, any fixed asset you are moving in, any house you're moving in is not your house. It's an Auroville house. But if I have put in the money for that house, there is a very strong connection, which is very difficult to break and say, okay, you have given an Auroville. Auroville has a house now, and you can live in there, and that's fine. As long as you're living there, it's fine. If something goes wrong and you want to leave, then say, but yeah, but I have put all this money in there, now I have actually nothing left because I've given a donation to Oroville. So that's why we always say, look, this is a choice people make, and it should not be taken lightly because it's not something where Oroville can just put in the pocket and say, okay, here, your 5 lakhs back. We don't have it. Once it's in the house, it's gone. It's in the house. So that's why it has to be a very conscious decision when you come here and join, because it's not just words when you say we don't own anything. It's a reality. And very often we are faced with in the FAMC with this type of problems when people want to leave and say, but how do I do now? And so we try to help and see what we can do. But it's never satisfying for the person. But when we say, yeah, but you see, initially the picture looked different, no? You come, you're full of energy, you say, this is what I want to do, and you join that. Once something goes wrong, then one becomes very critical and say, but yeah, why should I do this? Why should I give that? And then the problem is there. So that's why I'm saying it's very important that you are aware that this is a very, very serious issue, and we can't resolve it for you.
Thank you. I was wondering if the Financial Asset Management Committee has considered whether some of the smaller disputes can be passed to the arbitration mechanism that currently exists in Oroville, and whether that would lighten your load and allow you to focus on the larger issues and the policies.
There are so many small issues, unfortunately, that still a lot of them end up in the FMC. Whatever we are not keen to deal with this topic. So wherever we can find outside mediation and arbitration, we'll do that. We only deal with cases where there is no other point anymore, but even those cases are there. And they are very time-consuming, because once it has gone through arbitration, there is a certain calcification in the position. So to break that stalemate is sometimes very difficult.
Hi. You're talking about like living by yourself, about the money. We need the money from outside a lot to survive, all of us. And my question is, the point of view of the financial service about what we need, the most important things, to live in that way. And I want to know, is that more people, more work, because the focus is more money. I understand, but
you see, it's never money. You if you go after money, you waste your time. You have an idea, you do something, and money will come. It's basically what we need is young energy, young people coming here, and that's where we have to create facilities for young people where they can find a place to stay. We don't need to bother with their lodgings, that they don't have to bring 10 lakhs to build a house, but that we have actually facilities where they can come and stay and give their energy. You see, and then automatically, whatever they will do, it will attract money. So money itself doesn't solve the problem. It's actually with what we are doing, we will attract it, directly or indirectly.
Actually, my question was more, if we need more people, so we have to find a solution to bring and make living people. If we need more work, we need some more unit.
We need more of everything. You see, Oroville is a growing place.
There's no most important things in that case. There's no one point is more important than the other in that moment.
You see, everything is interlinked. You see, if you want to have more money, you need more people. If you need more people, you have to have more housing. Everything is interlinked. Then we come back to, okay, we need the resources. Mother was very clear when she said that the money for building the city has to come from outside. We have to be able to maintain ourselves. This is our duty. We have to find the means to maintain ourselves. But we cannot build a city for 50,000 from an income of 2,000 people or even 5,000 people. This is something which has to come from outside. So if Oroville as an idea attracts, because we are doing what we are supposed to do here. You see, it's more that people look and say, what is Oroville? Okay, you talk about things, you talk Mother Shrabindo, but what are you doing? Are you doing something which is worth that we consider this as a project which is important for the world? Because then money will come. As long as we're doing our own thing here, repeat the outside thing in an Oroville environment, it is not enough. So important is to carry this flame forward, which Oroville represents. They will say, this is Oroville. We are building something else here. We are trying to put the base for another possibility. And that will attract money. This is where the money will come. But for that, we need to put our energy in the right way. That's what is important. And that concerns all of us.
Thank you, Otto. On behalf of all the newcomers, I would like to thank Carol and the working group, working committee, and Toby from the Lavanir, and Otto from FAMC.